This week is our typical Valentine's theme, and so we talk about love, love for each other, love for God, and God's love for us. So we try to pick songs, you know, that go along with that. So our first song is called "Dance with Me." That one is not in your bulletin, so it's on the screen. That's one we've done before, so hopefully you'll recognize it.
This is holy time. We're gathered together to worship you, to love one another, and as we pray, and as we sing, and as we dance, and as we dream, oh Lord, I beg of you, just this one thing. Won't you dance with me throughout the heavens and below the sea? Up on the mountaintops, roll with the breeze. Come carry me, Lord, won't you dance with me? This is all.
Sunday after Epiphany. You're getting ever closer to Lent. It's hard to believe that, but I think we've still got a couple more weeks anyway. But we're getting there, slowly but surely. As usual, a couple of announcements here before we begin. One, I know the women's devotional group will be meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. It's not your bulletin, but I know Pat Becker mentioned something, so if you have any more questions, obviously you can ask Pat, but yep, women's devotions tomorrow. Of course, next Saturday, or this coming Saturday, the Malmo Area Lions are hosting a sweetheart dance and dinner here, right? Yeah, at what time is that again? 4:30, that's right. So, if you haven't already signed up for that, it's maybe not too late. Still time? Okay. So, please keep that in mind. Certainly, we have all sorts of great decorations out there, so thanks again to those that have already started decorating these last few weeks, but that's definitely something to keep in mind. Other than that, just a lot of stuff that I think we've kind of seen already. Of course, we're doing fundraisers again with the Hearts for this month. There's various ministries that keep an eye on in your bulletin. I know in Saturday's, a couple of folks mentioned to me this morning that Bev Wedding's grandson has passed away recently, so prayers for Bev this morning and her family. Are there any other announcements at this time?
Pastor,
yes.
You mentioned a movie at the end of the month.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so we are going to try doing a movie night here at Bethesda on the 24th, right? Sunday afternoon. And so we'll be purchasing an official license. We're going to legally show movies, so you can't turn us in. No blackmailing the church. But we're going to try to show a movie. If anyone has any great, like, fun ideas for a family-friendly movie, please see myself or one of the other folks on the committee. I know, you know, we have a couple ideas, but it would be great to hear some ones from, you know, people that are actually youth, you know. Yeah, it's always kind of a good idea.
And, you know, we're serving pizza, too.
Two pizza, that's right, yeah. So it should be a good time, yeah. But we'll get it all figured out. We'll probably use the projector and show it out. I don't know, have we hit Mary up officially yet for the... She said she had a screen. So, okay, good, all right.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. You can tell I'm well prepared for this announcement.
And we're going to have popcorn.
And popcorn. Did we ask Sherry yet, too? Okay.
No, we haven't.
Okay. Sherry, popcorn. Otherwise, it would just be me with the microwave, just microwaving like a dozen bags of popcorn. All right. Okay, well, that's good then. So end of this month, Sunday afternoon, the 24th. So, and hopefully we can continue this, especially since once we pay for this licensing, we're definitely going to keep continuing this because we want to make sure we get good use out of that. So, all right, anything else at this time? All right, well, I guess we'll keep on going.
So Jesus loves me, either in your hymnal or on the screen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us. Amen. Amen. Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ,
I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven, and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever.
Amen.
God of wisdom and groundedness,
you have encouraged us to live our lives grounded in faith, patience, and love.
Help us to love others without judgment, but with a solid foundation of acceptance, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our anthem today is My Savior, My God, and it's a song written by Aaron Schuss, just about the miracle of Christ's love in our lives. He loves us, He lives in our hearts, and He's always be there for us. It's a love that would make Him leave His throne on high to suffer and die for all of us.
I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know that His right hand stands the one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word and deed. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need for Him to be my Savior. That He would leave His place on high and come for sinful men to die. It counted strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. His living, dying, let me bring my strength, my soul is from the spring. That He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior. That He would leave His place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior.
Our first and main reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus said, "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, Let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and how great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's please read together our brief psalm response. Better is a little that the righteous person has than the abundance of many wicked.
The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous.
The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our men's Bible study group recently returned from our annual ice fishing trip. And according to our Facebook page, so did the women. Though I have my doubts. Some of those pictures looked a little suspicious. But it did remind me, as that often happens when I go ice fishing, I remember one of my earliest memories of ice fishing, and perhaps one of my earliest memories in general, was a time I went ice fishing with my father. Not that I remember much about that day. I don't remember what, if anything, we caught. I was pretty young at that point. But I do remember at one point I was kind of huddled next to my dad, next to his hole in the ice, kind of between my dad and the furnace. And I decided to go back to my hole to check on my fish that were, I guess, not biting too heavily. And so rather than go the long way around my dad, I thought I can squeeze through if I just boost myself with one hand on my dad's shoulder and the other hand on the furnace. You can see why I might remember this. I don't know if it exactly sizzled like steak, but I think in my mind it was something not too far off from that. Luckily, my dad, with some quick thinking, just advised me, of course, right, you know, put your hand down the hole, right, you know, and the cold water helped from, you know, I still have all the skin. It's all fine on the palms. But it definitely sunk into my memory, so to speak. But of course, I think I was mostly healed by the time I got home. And I'm sure as proudly as any fish that we caught, I probably displayed my, like, look, Mom, look what happened to me, you know. And Dad's like, oh, you know. But it is a lesson, right? We often learn these lessons, especially when we're young, and unfortunately sometimes when we're older too. But, you know, we learn these sort of really stark, clear lessons of don't touch things that are hot, you know, or sugar and salt may look similar, but you they don't taste the same when you add them to a beverage, right? Or, you know, don't pull the dog's tail if you don't want to get bit. You know, some of these real clear lessons that we learn, hopefully, in our youth. You know, don't eat too much candy, or your Halloween treats may be less of an enjoyment on the way back up. You know, it's how we learn about our world, right? We make judgments. We experience things, and then we form opinions based on that experience, and that's how we keep ourselves relatively safe and happy. And yet, of course, we also know how those judgments and other judgments that we make as we grow older and we pile on more and more year after year, we know how sometimes they aren't the greatest thing to carry with us, that we do carry judgments that sometimes do either get us in trouble or just make life, if not for ourselves, but certainly for others, a little less enjoyable. If only everything was as simple as don't touch that which is hot. But Jesus knows that our world is a bit more complex than that. And of course, we also have this morning, as we continue on in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we have what is called the Golden Rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat people how you would like to be treated. It's a concept that's found in pretty much every major religion, most belief systems that are out there, this idea of reciprocity and how we should treat one another. It's found sometimes both in the positive sense of treat others as you'd want to be treated. Sometimes it's done in what's called the negative sense, right? Don't treat others horribly if you don't want to be treated horribly yourself. In fact, there was a famous Jewish teacher, Rabbi Hillel, who, living roughly the same time as Jesus, is also known to have said, "That which is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor," when someone asked him what the essence of Jewish teaching was. You know, as modern people, we can do many great, wondrous, complex things. Sometimes we can even figure out how to work our computers on occasion. But sometimes it's these fundamental concepts, these basic things that we struggle with, you know. Despite the fact that almost every religion and every belief system throughout history has had some version of this golden rule, we still struggle with it on an ongoing daily basis thousands and thousands of years later. You know, this idea that we can look at ourselves with this clear, honest lens and not try to treat others differently than how we would like to be treated, it's something we struggle with. Christian historian and author Karen Armstrong, speaking on the Golden Rule, notes that religious people of various beliefs generally do want to be compassionate. If you were to ask them, most people would admit to that being a pretty good idea for how to run your life. But even if they aren't willing to admit it, religious believers also want to be right, right? That's another thing that's also operating in our brains, is this desire to be right and that we do things in the right fashion. And oftentimes those two things work against each other, the desire to be compassionate and the desire to be right. And again, it's not as if judgments are by themselves necessarily bad. You know, it's not a bad thing when we avoid touching things that are hot. It's not a bad thing when we see something that's evil, when we see people suffering, that we shouldn't speak out against that suffering, right? We shouldn't just be like, oh, well, whatever, if you're fine with you, I'm fine with me, right? It shouldn't be fine if someone else is causing someone else harm. We should speak out against that. It's maybe okay to have a few judgments in our lives, but we should also be willing to turn our gaze not just on others, but on ourselves, right? You know, that's part of the balance of a healthy life of faith, that we look both inward and outward, that understanding others requires that we understand ourselves, and understanding ourselves requires that we understand others, and loving others, and loving ourselves, and loving God. These things are all connected and joined together. You know, to answer Jesus' rhetorical question, why do we not notice that log in our own eye? You know, I think as much as judgments can sort of come forth from us while we are ignorant of our own sins and shortcomings, I think Jesus' sort of visual metaphor is such a great one, right? That speck in the log. Because what's so beautiful about that is that, like, you should notice a log that's in your own eye, right? Right? If you had this giant chunk of wood kind of jutting forth from your face, like, that is not a difficult thing that you should notice, right? Jesus didn't say, well, why notice a speck in somebody else's eye if you have a freckle on your nose or something, right? You know, it's a log coming forth from your face. Like, you should know this thing. And maybe what Jesus is also trying to say here is that sometimes we are actively trying to ignore that log, right? It's not just that we're ignorant of our own shortcomings. It's that we know quite well what our own sins and our own shortcomings are, but we just want to, like, not pay attention to them at all. We want to maybe deal with something that's a little smaller, right? Sometimes that's how our minds work, too. We have these big problems in our lives, and rather than deal with those big problems, it's much more comfortable to deal with smaller problems, and we get obsessed about the smallest, tiniest things. I see Lee is here today. I thought he had already flown south for the winter, but I always have to express my appreciation to Lee, because in my last congregation, the property committee was not nearly as well run as Lee keeps it's much a happier experience. There was a lot of focusing in my last church with kind of the minutiae of things, but that's because they were also dealing with a lot bigger challenges than what we're dealing here with at Bethesda. You know, we're fortunate in that way, and that's sometimes how our minds work, right? We have this big issue, so we focus on the little things. And it's also really handy is if those other problems, those smaller problems, are also somebody else's problems, right? You know, if it's somebody else's speck, that's, man, then we don't even need to change. We can just offer our opinions, and people should honor those opinions, and we can feel smart and good for helping them with that little speck in their eye, even if we have this giant log sticking out of our head. but, you know, obviously we know that this is not a great way to actually make our lives better. If we are able to step back and look at that, if we can finally start looking at that log in the mirror, we know that we do need to address our problems, that we do need to face this fear that we might have, that fear of change, maybe that fear of shame, that we really are worried about how people think of us as we have this log in our own eye, or even things that are less obvious, that if we bring them out into the light of day, people will look on us the way that we sometimes look on other people. You know, that kind of judgment in the end, it can be helpful, it can be a great tool, but it's not the sort of thing that will build a better world. It's not something that will ever really truly make our lives better. And what Jesus says, what will is compassion. What will is love. You know, when we think about how we spend our lives and how we spend our time and our energy, you know, as I said, judgment can be a handy tool, but that's not how we want to build up our lives, right? If we think of it in this metaphor that Jesus also uses in our passage today, right? It's these bricks. It's these foundations that we build, that we make our houses out of. You know, we're coming to the end. I think this is our last week where we talk about the Sermon on the Mount. And throughout all of it, right, Jesus is, he's not just trying to offer some teachings and then he's going to do a pop quiz at the end, right? That's not the point of all of it. Jesus is trying to reshape people's lives. Was it last week? What did we have? We had, where your treasure is, there your heart will be, right? It's not the other way around. It's not where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. It's where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Well, in the same token, how we build up our lives, how we spend our time, these are bricks that go into the foundation of our house. Might even be a handy sort of spiritual practice this week. Think about how you spend your time, because that's the house that you are building around us. Those are the foundations that you are setting. And you know, it's important to think about, how am I setting that foundation? Where am I setting it? I know that image of building a house on sand is a little complicated around here, because a lot of our houses are built on sand around here, around the lake, right? I know when they were digging out the foundations for the deck that they put on the back, it was just like sand all the way down. But in a metaphorical sense, it works, right? That we don't want our houses to be built on things that can shift, on things that really aren't all that helpful. We don't want it built on anger. We don't want it built on judgment. We don't want it built on even self-righteousness, right? Even if we are so totally convinced that we are right about this position or that, that's not really truly where we want to build the foundation of our lives. We want to build it on something a little bit better than that, on understanding and on love and on compassion. You know, we all know that there's all kinds of issues going on in our world, on the national scene, on the local scene, all kinds of judgments that fly around in the coffee shops and the restaurants and the gas stations, right? There's all kinds of things that we want to put out there that we just really want to invest our time and our energy in. And yet, at the end of the day, is that energy that's well spent, that's well invested? Build up our lives on something else, something better. Because we are all loved. We are all forgiven by God. We are all worthy of that love and forgiveness. Not because we're perfect. Not because we don't make mistakes. We make plenty of mistakes. But because we belong to God. We are God's children. And perhaps most of all, that is what we forget when we focus on specks and logs and all the rest. We miss that love. That deep, abiding, unending love of God, which is our true foundation. Amen.
The sermon hymn today is Seek Ye First, which is based exactly on the gospel and a message today.
Please rise as you are able. Let us confess our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Give us courage to answer your call and keep us faithful to your life-giving word. Send us out to be the good news of your love for all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the earth, for tundra and forests, grasslands and deserts, for those who fish and those who farm, for ranchers, gardeners, and all whose work brings food to our tables. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations. Grant wisdom to those in authority. Strengthen peacekeepers, ambassadors, military personnel, and disaster relief workers. Protect families who have to leave their homes because of war, natural disasters, or rejection by their communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those in need, for those whose lives are in turmoil, for those who wrestle with addiction, for those burdened by anxiety and self-doubt, for those who grieve, and those who are ill. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this assembly, for those who prepare this space for worship, and those who mentor others in the faith, for those who nurture fellowship with this congregation, and those who reach out in service to our community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Good and gracious God, we lift up prayers for our community this morning. We offer special prayers for Bev Wettig and her family as they mourn the passing of her grandson. We remember in prayer those who are in need of a little healing. We certainly remember Sheila, who was a little sick and couldn't be with us this morning. We give thanks that George was well enough to join us on drums this morning. And we give thanks for all those who have received your healing touch, and prayer for all those who need it still. And now, O God, we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts or in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. With thanksgiving, O God, we remember those who have died and now rest in your presence. Sustain us in hope of the resurrection and bring us into the joy of unending life in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our offertory hymn is Change My Heart, O God. So in Psalm 139, we read, Search me, O God, and know my heart. And in Isaiah 64:8, says, We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand. We all sin and need to have our hearts changed by God so that we can be more like him.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O holy God. You are the life and light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light, shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us in this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Oh, except you guys are going to teach us how to pray with help from Jesus.
Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us the wrong we have done, as we forgive those who wrong us. And do not put us to the test, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever.
Come to the table, feast on God's abundant life for you. All are welcome. Please come.
We'll feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. I will feast at the table.
Please rise as you're able. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at your banqueting table with bread and wine beyond compare, the very life of Christ for us. Send your Spirit with us now, that we may set the captive free, use your gifts to build one another up, and in everything reflect your glory revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
And
because the after we're done, because the praise band is the one hosting your snacks. So, so if you get there, it's not going to do you any good.
For our last two songs, we kind of return back to the 50s. The 50s. The two songs will come right after the other. The first one is Love the Lord, and that's based on Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the last song is Jesus is the Rock, and that's from Psalm 62. It says, truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. Do we have anybody that would like to help us make a little music up here?
Or there.
Or there, or stay in your seats. We have some of these. Anybody in the front row? Anna, do you want to help us?
I bet we could give one to Sue. I bet Sue would.
Oh, Sue.
There we go.
Come up and stand with us. Look here.
Anybody else? Okay, so during the when we get to Jesus the Rock, there's a chorus. And that's when you can just really let it shake.
Jesus is the rock.
Good job.